We're going to be in Hebrews 13. And Wednesday nights, we started last week looking at the home. And how do we have a happy home or a God-honoring home and seeing what God has for us with this. Now, don't get excited. This is just two pages, okay? Don't get too excited now. Next week, we're going to talk. Well, we should be here next week, shouldn't we? Lord willing, I don't know. We're going to talk about marriage tonight, and then we're going to move into specifics and talk about the husband next week. You don't want to miss that, ladies. You want to be here, okay? And then the ladies, it's your turn the following week, and we're going to look at that. And then the children. Children, are you listening? We got two in here now. Amen. All right. It's your turn then. And then lastly is pastor's turn. We're going to talk about the pastor. No, I'm just kidding. But I need it. Amen. Tonight, Hebrews 13. Thank you for coming, bringing your Bibles. A familiar verse, I'm sure. I hope it is, but if not, a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture talking about really what marriage is. Notice verse 4, Hebrews 13, 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, just one verse there we're going to start out with, but talking about the marriage. And again, let me just preface it with, none of us have a perfect marriage, okay? we were laughing tonight, but it's just, none of us do. And you think, by the way, that couple and that you see that look like they got it all together, they are lying, okay? We know that. They look like Ken and Barbie. Yeah, no, they're lying, okay? They've had work done. They've had some stuff done. And we know that. They're in debt. They've got issues, all of that. Okay, so again, we're coming back and looking what the Bible says. Now notice in your notes here that today's society downplays the importance of marriage. Living together without marriage is increasingly popular. Almost half of American households are now made up of two unmarried adults living together, making this the most common type of household in America. Now having children in single parent homes is all too common. Is this right? Is marriage important? Is it worth all the trouble involved in making it work? How many have ever asked those questions? Okay, don't raise your hands. Is it worth working at this? Now, I want to give an emphatic yes, it is. Notice, though, God says marriage is honorable and all but undefiled. He ordained marriage and made the family the basic unit of life. Now, Genesis, let's in fact go there. Genesis 2, go all the way back. I was going to not read it, but I think we should read it. It's really, really good. Genesis 2, he's talking, again, the basic unit here of life. Genesis 2:18. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him and help meet for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all cattle, fowl of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam, notice, there was not found an help meet for him until Stephanie came. Amen. Okay. Not a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Amen for that sleep. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made a woman, brought her unto man. And the man said, whoa, man. No, he didn't. But he only had one choice, right? I mean, I'll take her. Okay. This is now, notice 23. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Again, okay, so this is all the way back. You don't get two chapters into the Bible and you run into marriage. Marriage. Oh, now, thinking about this, tonight, notice that third paragraph. In every known culture since that day, the family, led by a man and woman properly married, has remained the foundation of society. God made man and woman for each other. Their bodies, their minds, and their temperaments are to complement each other. This is only possible within the marriage bond. Okay? Now, God established the rite of marriage and has not altered his plan. He's given specific instructions as to how to be successful in that. We talked about some of that last week. We choose whether to learn and follow his plan or to reject it and try one of our own. It is impossible. It is impossible to fail if we choose his plan. Marriage must be held in honor by all.
It is God's plan for a happy, healthy environment. It is worth the trouble. Okay. To understand and appreciate the beauty of marriage, we must understand its design. We must understand what God had in mind when he designed and instituted it. I couldn't say that. Marriage has a perfect design because God designed it. Okay, so a few things here. One, marriage is for all. We just read that. But it's for all. And it should be for all. There are some people, you know that, that never marry. And there's nothing wrong with that. They live a life of that way. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But marriage is offered to all and is available to all. And it is a good thing. Two, though, marriage is for completeness. We just read that in Genesis 2. The man is not complete without his woman. I like that. The woman is not complete until she completes her man. Marriage binds them together. Now, letter A under that, man is made up of two components, basically male and female. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Both are specially designed for their roles and responsibilities. Again, when the Bible talks about man in certain settings or context, you understand it's not talking just about the male. It's talking about a human being, right? So understanding some of that, but that's what he's made up of and what a man is. Letter B, man is not designed to live alone. The man needs a suitable helper and the approval that only his wife can give. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8, notice there in your notes, I have it. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. The woman needs to be a helper and receive the security that only her husband can give. Again, nothing in the Bible is chauvinistic, okay? It's not that old man is better than woman. No, it's they're on equal playing field, okay? But there's a willingness of submission and what plays forth. Man willingly submits himself under Christ. The woman willingly submits herself to the husband. And the children submit themselves to the parents. And you see that you can truly have a home that is glorifying to the Lord. So we see man is made up. Man is not designed to live alone. Praise the Lord for that. How many remember your bachelor days? Fellas and even ladies living bachelorette days, I guess it is. Okay, well, I've got some stories to tell. Yeah, and I can tell you some recipes that I came up with. You can take ramen noodles and do a lot with them. Yes, you can. It's bad. It's really bad. You can take, if you get real hungry, Brother Adam, you may remember these days, you can take saltine crackers you get at the dollar store, and you can crumble them up. Don't crumble them too small, but leave them kind of chunks. Put them in a bowl, and you don't have enough money for milk, so just put some water in it. Now, you got to eat it fast because it's going to get soggy. But you can do it and act like it's cereal. Just close your eyes, man. It's good. It puts some sugar on it. Okay. How many have sugar water? You ever had sugar water? Remember those days? Yeah, brother, you remember those days. Maybe you like it now. What you think about it? Anyways, I'm being silly. You understand, man needs a suitable helper and a helpmeet. And again, I said not everyone marries, and that's fine. That's okay. Number three, marriage is for sanctity. Okay? Now, I'm being cautious and careful. I know we have a few young people here, but sex has a very powerful and explosive nature, can be properly managed only in marriage, okay? 1 Corinthians 7:2, to avoid fornication, now that's sex before union, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. Just to clarify, that church there at Corinth, the main issue there was a lot of infidelity going on, a lot of fornication and adultery going on. And Paul came in and talked and corrected them about that. And he said, now listen, you need to correct this. And what happened was they refused to correct the problem. So Paul had to come in and handle the situation and basically kick this guy out of the church because he refused to repent and get right about this issue. Now it's for sanctity. Again, God has forbidden this act outside of marriage. Clear in Scripture. Okay, we can't get around that. Now, many have failed in that. There's forgiveness with the Lord and repentance. Praise God you're doing right now. But we understand that. It is forbidden, clearly. Anyone who violates this will pay an undesirable price for it. Now listen here, notice Galatians 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Okay, again, you're not going to play God. You're not going to get around, you're not going to deceive God and be deceptive with God. He knows what's going on, okay? For whatsoever man soweth, he shall also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. 1 Corinthians 6:15, goes along the same, says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every man that Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Okay, now turn the page over. We understand that. I won't get into all of that tonight. Now notice here, number four, marriage is a heterosexual union. Matthew 19:4. He answered and said unto them, have ye not read that which made he that made them at the beginning made them male and female? Made them male and female. So again, just a clarification. I get a lot of flack because of this, and critics and people, as most people do that stand for this, homosexual unions are deliberate perversions of God's plan. Okay, we all know homosexual people. Okay, or transgender. Maybe you have some friends you know of, or a lesbian couple or something. I know several, and very good people, very honest, very sweet people. They're good people, and we want nothing ill towards them at all. We don't say anything ill towards them, or harsh, or harmful, or hateful. What do? We pray for them, right? Because we know that scripturally, if you follow the Bible like you should, you know it's clearly against God's plan, okay? Now, homosexual acts are clearly forbidden. Leviticus 18:22, there shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination, okay? It's against God. Leviticus 20:13 goes along the same. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, what the president passed yesterday, as if you guys noticed that in the news, I hope you did, but the protection for that and protecting relationships or couples of that nature, we are against that, and I make that clear, and we are a church that's against that. You know that. Again, we pray for these couples, we pray for these people, but we're not for them, right? We're not going to condone that, again, clearly against Scripture. Now, it shows you, again, where our nation is going. And if you've studied world history at all, you see that very clearly. Every mighty nation that's ever existed, right towards the downfall and end of their nation, leading them into either obliteration or captivity, homosexuality was very prominent in the society. Okay, or a perversion, if you will, of any kind of that act. We're coming to an end, I believe, very quickly here as a nation. Now, that's why we need to be in God's house and be close to the Lord. I don't know what you believe about it, but I hope you come to the Bible's point of view on it. But you see it. Now, this is where we are today. And I want to emphasize that praise God for you tonight with your marriages and your strong marriages for the Lord. I have letter C, that this is a result of denying God, ultimately. Go to Romans chapter 1 with me. Romans 1, this is a result of denying God and His plan, really. Romans 1, a fantastic chapter. Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, the whole book is just a great book. And I'm excited about studying it here coming up in our Bible Institute and looking at that. Okay, Romans 1, verse 24, but notice what he says. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Now that word uncleanness carries with it a sexual perversion through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God, notice, into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, placable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, notice this verse, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They know the judgment of God, but they have pleasure in it. Not only do they do it, but they thumb their nose at God. They enjoy doing it. They enjoy breaking God's commands. Now again, talking about, it's just blatantly denying who God is, okay? Number five then, let's get through this. Marriage is to be monogamous, okay? Not much to be said about that. We know Matthew 19:5. He said, for this cause, we already read that, man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife. They twain shall be one flesh. Polygamy was permitted, but it was never God's perfect plan. I get this all the time. Well, David had a bunch of wives. Solomon did, and God never said anything about it. Well, he did say something about it, by the way. He clearly laid it out. Now, if you notice these polygamous relationships in the Bible, they were never good thing. They always had problems, didn't they? Constant problems. I can't handle one. Okay, how am I going to handle more? I'm kidding. But it's the truth. Amen. Okay. It's never condoned. Okay, we'll get past that. Okay, next. Marriage is for procreation. Now, children are a blessing from the Lord. We read that last week, Psalm 127. Children require training and need mom and dad married and living together. Not everyone has children. And again, I emphasize this. You're not being punished by God. Okay, people, I've counseled couples before feeling that way. Please, not at all. Praise God for your faithfulness. But thinking about some can't, but those that have children, we know, we're going to get to this in a few weeks, they need training and they need mom and dad living together. Many folks come from broken homes. But you have, and some of you in here, in fact, but a lot of you in here have come from broken homes, and praise God for where you're at today. It's by God's grace. And you now have the opportunity now to go forward for the Lord. Okay, next, marriage is for life, should be for life. Again, in Matthew 19, verse 6, as Jesus is continuing there, he says, wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. No man, including yourself. Okay? You don't say, well, it's time for us to get separate and divorce. No. All right? It's for life. Divorce was never God's perfect plan. Divorce never solves the problems. Never does. Never has, never will. And so we see that. Marriage then is to be a delight. God intended marriage to be pleasant, enjoyable, delightful. It is not to be an ongoing warfare. God instituted marriage. He gave a three-part commandment, which remains the most concise and comprehensive counseling session ever presented on marriage. These 22 words sum up the entire teaching of Scripture on marriage. Everything else that is said emphasizes or amplifies the three fundamental principles given here, but does not change them. Any real problem faced in marriage will come from ignoring some aspect of this commandment. Okay? Now, notice this. One is to leave all other relationships. There is no room for father and mother between you. There's no room for brothers and sisters between you. There's no room for the children between you, including grown adult children, right? There's no room for the job between you. There's no room for friends or other men or women between you, right? Very clear. Again, secondly, notice the second part of this is to cleave to your spouse. Cleave means to cement together, to stick like glue, to be welded together so they cannot be separated without damage to both. You ever had something glued so it was super glue? Or you ever accidentally did that to your fingers, glued them together? Oh, that hurts, doesn't it? I mean, when you separate it, it's broke, it's ripped, it's everything else, right? It is no use leaving unless you're ready to spend a lifetime cleaving. Okay, that's a good point. Notice the third part. And lastly, become one flesh. Now, two will actually become one. This is more than togetherness. No one can explain all that it means for two people to become one flesh. Again, this is why divorce has such a devastating effect. Not two people are left, but two fractions of one. Now, that's good there. Two fractions of one. The marriage design is ordained by God as patterned after the relationship of Christ and His church. It is a foundation for the love life you can experience in your own marriage. Okay. Now, again, we've covered a lot here, but I hope that something helped you. And again, that's why I try and give you my notes here, because I want you to go home and study this. And this would be something good to study together as a couple and look some of these verses over and understand what the Bible says and what God has for us and in marriage and understanding that. in our world today that is so promiscuous, is so wishy-washy. We need God's people to stand and do what the Bible says. We need more marriages that are strong, not fractured, that are healthy, that are vibrant. And that can only happen. Again, I've used this many times, and I pardon my repetition, but the triangle that we've seen before. But when you have dad and mom, or husband and wife, and they're both, and Christ is at the top, when you're both seeking to please or get closer to Christ, inevitably you're both getting closer to each other. It's a wonderful picture that's helped me so many times. But when you individually, you know, it's not, honey, you better get right with the Lord, I'm waiting for you. No, it's not right. It's what? Let me get right first, okay? And I'm focused on Jesus Christ. When I'm focused on Christ, you look over and you go, oh, hey, honey, you're coming right with me. Hey, that's great. You're getting closer to each other. It's inevitable. It really is. And sometimes we know that as we get closer to the Lord, maybe our spouse may not be. In certain areas, we help and encourage, obviously. We desire to please Him in all that we do. Okay, so I hope that was a help to you. We know most of this, but just a good reminder, good refresher for us. As we go out into the world tomorrow, you're going to be around a lot of coworkers and family and friends that do not have a healthy marriage, maybe broken homes, and you could be a shining light to them. Not someone that has a nose stuck up in the air of any kind of arrogance or anything like that, but a help and a blessing to try and be something to point them ultimately to Jesus Christ. That's our goal, isn't it? That's our goal. I hope that was a help to you, okay? All right. Lord, thank you for this evening and this time together. Again, I thank you for your grace. And Lord, as we look at some of this, and what a challenge to think about your, really, the standard you put on marriage. And I know personally how far we fall so short of that often, and we just pray for your help collectively tonight as a church to be faithful to you. All of us in here are at different stages, and I'm so thankful to see some of our older folks and their marriages that they've been so strong in, great examples to us. Some others have gone through, maybe taken a longer route. Lord, great to see them being so faithful to you now and trusting you, others in different levels. I praise you, though, and ask for your hand and help. As Lord, we know the adversary is at work. He wants to destroy us. His greatest desire for us as a church and a home and a marriage is to divide us from the inside out. He wants to really cause a devastating blow of division. We ask for your help and your strength to stay in your word. Help us to be sober and vigilant, Lord, not let our guard down, but to be focused in the word of God every day, spending time with you in prayer and trusting you. We pray you'd strengthen us and guide us now as we go our separate ways. Bring us back. We do pray for Sunday. We look forward to that. Love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.